I was raised in a Christian home and came to know Christ at a very young age when I was baptized. I grew up as a daddy's girl and later realized that my mom used that every chance she could as a form of manipulation against my dad. I remember one time in particular that my hair was down to my waist and my mother cut it off to my chin because she was angry at dad. I never felt unconditional love from my mother and would cringe anytime they had a fight because I knew what came next. When I was in the eighth grade, I went through confirmation program at my church where I memorized Bible verses and learned of God's great love for me. It was at that time when I took my first communion and acknowledged Christ as my Savior. I served in the children's ministry and taught Sunday school and vacation Bible school. I loved serving with the kids because they had an unconditional love for me and the sound of their laughter could cure any depression or loneliness I was feeling. Shortly after graduation, I was kicked out of my parents' house for what my mother felt was a lack of respect for her rules. Being the strong-willed person that I was, I left with no argument and moved in with a girlfriend and her parents. My mother had always been very controlling and manipulative, but this time her plan backfired. Therefore, to save face for kicking me out, she forbid anyone in the family to have anything to do with me and told me that to her I was dead. It was at that time that I experienced real abandonment, rejection, and insecurity. I worked hard and eventually got a place of my own. I bought a new car and thought life was great. I worked for the government by day and bartended at night. I lived in the big city of New Orleans now, so I didn't have time for church. I met a guy at work and fell in love with him and his family. When we broke up, I was devastated. I fell into a deep depression and couldn't snap out of it. My girlfriend had moved to Colorado with her family and invited me to come and live with them. Since I no longer had any ties to Louisiana, I made the big move. It was there that I met my first husband. When he got transferred to Texas with his work, I went with him and we got married. After 2 years, he transferred again, only this time I had started a new job that I loved. My son, who was just a toddler, was in a great daycare, and therefore I chose not to go with him. He said it was only for 6 months and then he would be back. It seemed like a good decision to stay. I continued to live my life only focusing on myself and what made me happy. I had forgotten all the values I was taught as a child, and therefore life became one great hardship after another. John 15:5 states that I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. I continued to live my life testing this verse and being shown time and time again that there was no fruit in my life without God. 2 years went by and my husband had not come back to Texas. I had entered into a serious relationship with a guy from work and found myself pregnant. I immediately filed for divorce and drove to Ohio to get my husband to sign the divorce papers. I remember the day my divorce was final that I cried. I knew what I did was wrong, but my happiness came first and I was just following my heart. I still had a lot of insecurity in my life, a lot of baggage, and a 4-year-old son. This relationship was over before my daughter was born, leaving me heartbroken. I was now a single parent with another on the way. I had made lots of friends through work who were there to support me. They all came to visit me in the hospital when I had the baby. I remember how puzzled the nurses were because of all my visitors. One nurse even commented that she still hadn't figured out who the father was. That was because he wasn't there. I went through a custody battle for my daughter and won custody and a substantial amount of child support. He was so angry that he gave up all visitation and parental rights. There was no communication other than the biweekly checks I received. I was so broken, my self-worth diminished, and my future looked hopeless. I knew I needed to pray, but realized that prayer intimidated me. When growing up, I said the God is great, God is good prayer for family dinners. At bedtime, I said the now I lay me down to sleep prayer, and then asked God to bless my family and friends. I knew the Lord's Prayer too, but didn't know a prayer to pray when you had lost faith and hope. I wasn't seeking a relationship with God, and in fact was pretty mad at him for allowing all this to happen. I couldn't figure out why God didn't want me to be happy. I had forgotten what it says in Proverbs 20:24, "The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way?" I would eventually marry one of my guy friends from work, who was actually the one who drove me home from the hospital when my daughter was born. She was 11 years old when we married. He had been my best friend for 12 and a half years, and we had been dating for over 2 years, so why not? It wasn't until the failure of this marriage that my feelings of complete hopelessness, rejection, and abandonment came to a head. My baby girl had just left for college, and now my husband was leaving too. I felt that I was unlovable and my self-worth plummeted. I believed that I was now too old and too fat to ever find someone to love me. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Satan was attacking my heart through my thoughts. The enemy was well aware that your thoughts shape who you are, and your thoughts don't have to be true to hurt you. Instead of allowing God's truth to penetrate my heart, I was a slave to my emotions. All I wanted to do was sleep. On the weekends, I would stay in my pajamas, which meant I didn't have to comb my hair or put on makeup. In fact, I started going to work with no makeup because I just didn't have the energy to put it on. I found it hard to concentrate at work and many times would just sit there and cry. I checked my mail once a week, which was more often than I did housework. I would come home from work and go straight to my bedroom and crawl into bed. On the verge of a nervous breakdown, I went to my family doctor for help with my depression and anxiety. While taking my blood pressure, the nurse suggested that I join a divorce support group. It was at her suggestion that I found divorce care, found Watermark, and found God again. I met a sweet friend through the singles ministry who invited me to join her at the 9 o'clock service on Sunday. I said yes, even though that meant that I couldn't sleep until noon. We became a common fixture on the third row. I joined her community group and learned how to live with accountability. I would be reminded through my community and divorce group what it says in Psalms 139, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God loves me just the way I am, and there is nothing I can do to make him love me any more or any less than he already does. His love is unconditional. God hates divorce, but he doesn't hate divorced people. I began to realize that I had been living with a God-shaped hole in my heart that only he could fill. When I finally let go of trying to control my life and my happiness and trusted in God's will, everything finally started to fall into place. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come." My old values, morals, beliefs, and self-centered life would now be a thing of the past. My God loves me so much that he was giving me a second chance, and I was going to make the most of it. I was now serving in divorce care, and I had set the bar high for the new creation that I wanted to be. I was so exhausted from chasing false idols that I welcomed the change. Watermark was adding a new night for Celebrate Recovery, now Regeneration, a biblically based recovery program, and I knew in my heart that I needed to take advantage of this. Friday night was the perfect night, too, because that equipped me to handle the weekends, which were always tough. My Celebrate Recovery leader, Robin, was amazing. The first thing she did was to pass out a copy of Psalm 139 and told us to paste it on our mirror and read it every day to remind ourselves how much God cares and how truly special each of us are to him. I thought if God cares enough to count the hairs on my head, then he cares even more about my thoughts and feelings. My feelings of unworthiness and hopelessness seemed to disappear. I learned to let go of control, to forgive, and to give all the injustices and hurts to God to avenge as he saw fit. In doing so, I felt his overwhelming forgiveness and grace. I had a newfound outlook on life and was well on my way to becoming that new creation that God promised I could be. My heart continued to change, and thus, with the help of my sweet sister, I reconnected with my family members and made amends with my mother. As a result, I have spent several Christmases with my entire family, some of which I hadn't seen in almost 30 years. My son went to Louisiana with me for Christmas a couple of years ago and met my mom and family for the first time. My daughter and grandbaby met my mother for the first time 3 years ago in July when she had heart surgery. I now talk to my mother and father on the phone regularly. God gave me the strength to swallow my pride and gave me the desire to be more like him in everything I do. Because of that, I now have the love and support of my family that I had longed for all my life. I can honestly say that looking back on the person I was and seeing the new creation I am becoming, I would not change 1 minute of the pain and heartache, depression and hopelessness I experienced to get to where I am today. God uses pain to redirect our path. The enemy still ambushes me from time to time with those feelings of unworthiness, depression, and insecurity, but the difference is that now I'm equipped to fight back. Faith, God's word, and prayer are great tools for combat and for healing. If you have faith even as small as a mustard seed, as it says in Matthew 17:20, nothing would be impossible. I have been blessed with the most amazing friends to walk with me, give me wisdom, and hold me accountable. I learned from my divorce that I need to be patient, work on myself, stay single, and see what God's will was for my life. I've been amazed how God has grown me since my divorce. I truly believe that God has given me the gifts of compassion and encouragement so that he can use me to pull others out of the mud pit. God's timing is always worth waiting for, and God's best for our life will far exceed anything we can imagine. I am also not as intimidated by prayer. And I'll never forget once when I was so upset over my ex, and my precious friend told me to just talk to God and tell him how I feel. I could yell, scream, cry, or whisper. It didn't matter. God desires an intimate relationship with me, and the eloquence or lack of human wisdom in my words didn't matter. It was through this relationship that I have found an inner calm in the midst of the ups and downs of life. I have learned to be content with the things in my life that cannot be changed. Something that helped me do this was memorizing the Serenity Prayer, and I would love to pray it with you now. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen.